meeting of the State Government Budget Division for Monday, March 19, 2007. Let the record reflect we have a quorum. We have two bills on our agenda. One bill, actually, we saw last week, Senator Higgins' bill on voter registration provisions modifications, and we laid it over to determine the areas that have fiscal impacts. And Senator Higgins, welcome back. Have we just determined what we need to do here on this bill today? I don't know that we need to spend more time unless members wish to do so, but
Mr. Chair, where are we?
Okay.
The fiscal note came back, and there was a $28,000 fiscal note on Section 1.
Mm-hmm.
So if you delete Section 1, you can kick us out of here.
Okay, so if we pass Sections 2, 3, and 4, there are no fiscal impacts to that, and then we can send that to Finance, and then Finance can pass it through the floor. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
What is your desire in Section 1? We will be the Secretary of State's provisions will be looked at on Wednesday of this week. I don't know, Ms. Fraser, was there a desire to have this looked at as part of your provisions on Wednesday, or should we just set it aside and not do this? I don't know. Give me some guidance. What are you looking at? Ms. Higgins, Senator Higgins or Ms. Fraser, what?
Mr. Chair,
for the record, yeah.
Beth Fraser from the Secretary of State's office. I think that we can just set it aside for now.
Okay. Not visit on Wednesday?
I don't think so, Mr. Chair.
Okay. So we will not plan on looking at this. Well, once the train leaves the station, we're not going to back up. Okay. So Senator Olsen moves to delete Section 1. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Is there further discussion on Senate File 954 as amended? Anybody else who wants to be heard on Senate File 954 as amended? Hearing none, Senator Olsen moves that Senate File 954 as amended be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. Motion prevails.
Thank you,
Senator Higgins. Okay. Then, Senator Rust, are you presenting on behalf of
yes.
Senator Pappas? Okay. This is Senate File 471, State Agencies Contracting Out of Previously Eliminated Job Restrictions. And we have a fiscal note that shows no fiscal impact. Senator Rust.
Mr. Chairman, the bill is before the Finance Committee because there was some issue about whether there would be a what the fiscal note for this bill would be. And as you see in the packets, the fiscal note is zero. What the bill proposed was is in the language starting on lines 213, saying that the agency will not contract out previously eliminated jobs for 4 years without considering first the same former employees who had obviously previously held those jobs and were already qualified for them. With me, Mr. Kujawski from Legislative Affairs Director of the Minnesota Association of Professional Employees, if members have any questions.
Well, perhaps we could hear from your witness. This bill was heard in the Policy Committee. As most members who are here are not on that. Well, some are not on the Policy Committee, so they may want to have some background information on it. But welcome to the Budget Division. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Richard Kujawski. I am the Legislative Affairs Director for the Minnesota Association of Professional Employees. Thank you for this opportunity to speak, and thank you to Senator Rest for filling in for Senator Pappas.
Okay. Go ahead.
I think what this bill does is, for example, if an agency decides to lay off five IT positions, for example, it just prevents them from turning around and outsourcing that work later on without recalling those individuals while they're on a layoff list. What it doesn't do, I think it's important to note, is prevent the Materials Management Division with the Department of Administration, who administers about 5,000 contracts a year, from continuing to administer those 5,000 contracts per year. It's an agency responsibility, as the language indicates. There is no fiscal impact, as you've already stated, and there should really be no impact on any agency if they don't have intentions to actually outsource state jobs that they recently laid off. With that, I'd like to keep it brief, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator John Barr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Rist and
Mr. Kajewski.
Boy, Mr. Jacy, as I'm thinking this through, there's a lot of jobs that our state employees can do very cost effectively, and there's some that beg to be contracted out, if you will. And what if this is something that we've got enough knowledge to know that it's more cost effective to contract out? It seems like it kind of brings back something where we may have eliminated job positions because they just weren't cost effective. How does this handle that kind of a situation?
Mr. Kajewski.
Mr. Chair and Senator Jungbauer, I think with all due respect, I'm certain that in many areas state agencies could find a way to do things cheaper. I'm not convinced sitting here that in doing so they can find a way to do things more efficient or equally as efficient and maintain that same quality. I think the reality is state agencies, like I said, they have approximately 5,000 contracts a year that, I mean, it's a wide range of things that they seek contracts for. We're not stopping that. We're just saying you don't lay off employees to outsource jobs if they're on the layoff list. It's
Senator John Barr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I still can't quite get your name right.
Kajewski.
Is that right?
Kajewski. Kajewski, yes. Okay. Yeah, it's one of those days where I just can't get the name thing right.
Senator John Barr.
Either way, I answer to both. So. I just, you know, I'm having a hard time kind of identifying my thought process here, but I'll just give you kind of an example on the outside. I'm very aviation-oriented background and very involved at the Anoka Airport. They have contracted out the tower. Now, I've studied a lot of contract towers around the country, and I think that's probably one of the few that operates more efficiently contracted out. I think we've heard enough even in this committee that if we could have more IT people within certain areas of state government, we could do it much more effectively in-house than some of the contracts we're sending out. But I'm a little concerned that this kind of closes it up for discussion where we you know, kind of couldn't close up some area. It just seems too open where something that we have proven that it's not good to contract in, but I think you make the case, and I think we've seen a lot of cases where we could do it more effectively and better in-house, and we ought to bring more people and create more jobs there, but this just seems like it kind of eliminates that possibility in some areas.
Mr. Kajewski?
Mr. Chair and Senator Jungbauer, I would simply point out that in statute currently, state agencies are prevented from outsourcing jobs that are currently being done by state employees. This language is merely saying that if you've laid off those employees, you can't turn around and outsource them while they're on the layoff list. I think the example that you gave is a perfect example, but it's already covered in statute.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions of this witness? Is there anybody else who's here who wants to be heard on Senate File 471? Welcome to the Budget Division. Come on forward.
You have to sign this.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Olsen.
As the new witness is making his way up, there is a condition on length of time for this. As I read it, it's for 4 years, so it's not something that would be ongoing into perpetuity or anything like that. So I see that cap as kind of a safety net there, too.
Welcome to the Budget Division. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Paul Larson. I'm the Deputy Commissioner from the Department of Employee Relations. In that capacity, I also serve as the State Labor Negotiator. Mr. Chair, I'm here to testify in opposition to this bill for a couple of reasons, most in particular that the area of subcontracting is a term and condition of employment, and this has twice been tested in front of the Minnesota Supreme Court under the Public Employee Labor Relations Act. Now, we currently have a provision in almost all of our collective bargaining agreements, and in particular, the witness that you heard of from today is from the Minnesota Association of Professional Employees. We do have a provision already in the collective bargaining agreement for which we've negotiated with the union over this matter, and I would ask that this committee refer this back to the bargaining table where it belongs. But there's we have in the past negotiated over the provisions of this, and we're still willing to negotiate over the provisions of it. What you're going to have before you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, is you have a term and condition of employment for which the union here now is seeking to codify into statute. Some of the provisions that you've talked about, such as 4 years, that's an anomaly of our collective bargaining agreement. The term seniority unit is an anomaly found in the collective bargaining agreement. We have been unable to reach an agreement with the professional union or some of our other unions in the area of subcontracting, but that doesn't mean, in my opinion, that by the lack of an agreement that the union or even the employer should come before you and try seek a term and condition of employment from the employer, which really belongs back at the bargaining table. What you're going to, and finally, Mr. Chair, the concern that I have is that you're now going to be asking a district court judge to interpret terms and conditions of employment, such as seniority units, durations of the layoff list, and so on. And so, again, in closing, I want to emphasize this belongs at the bargaining table. It belongs to the exclusive representatives and the employer to continue to work this out, and it does not belong here. Thank you.
And let me suggest maybe the bill may not even belong here because it sets forth a policy, whether it's a good policy or bad policy. The bill was sent to the Finance Committee to review fiscal impact, and, of course, the Finance Committee has the bill. We don't have any bills in this budget division. But it referred to us to review it, and there is, you can look at the fiscal note, there is no fiscal impact. So one way or the other, the Finance Committee is going to have to, move the bill out or do something with it. But if there's no fiscal impact, there's really not much this budget division can do on it. So, Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry I missed part of the discussion, but I was wondering if anyone addressed the issue of when a contract is appropriate and for short-term jobs and when it is appropriate maybe to bring back full-time employees. I have a concern that we would be bringing back full-time employees when indeed maybe just short-term work is available and would be best served by a contract that could be let out for a while. So I do have some serious concerns about this. Because I don't necessarily agree that we should add to the staffing if that is not what is in the best interest. So in that case, there could be long-term fiscal implications if we have to put someone back on payroll. And then I don't know if they're senior members and they have to go through the whole procedure of releasing employees. We all know how complicated and difficult that is to do. And so I think it's nice that if they can negotiate this and set some parameters of when is a contract in the best interest of the state and when is it in the best interest to hire people back onto the payroll.
Does anyone wish to address that, Senator Rust?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would go back to your point about the policy of this bill was addressed in a hearing in the state and local government, and it was only because if the Department of Administration at that point had not raised an issue of fiscal impact, the bill would have maybe gone straight to the floor, quite frankly. And we do have the fiscal note from them, and I think that they were hoping there would be fiscal impact, short-term or long-term, and the fiscal note and the explanation says that there's none.
Any further discussion? Anybody else want to be heard? Mr. Allen, welcome to the Budget Division. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you. My name is Kent Allen. I'm the Director of the Materials Management Division at Administration. I guess I wanted to speak, given that there was a suggestion that admin had wanted there to be a fiscal impact.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
I think it actually was employee relations who had suggested that there could be a fiscal impact.
I was only reading. I do apologize. I was just reading that it came from the administration department, and that's what I was looking at. But I recall also now it was Doer that raised the issue about whether there was a fiscal impact. I stand corrected.
Senator Rust was just ahead of herself because she's already got Doer merged into admin.
Right, yeah, I already got him over there. So,
okay.
I apologize.
And actually, earlier language would have had a significant fiscal impact for us, and people have worked on language that doesn't resolve Doer's labor relations issues, obviously, but from an operational perspective, we could do this at no cost to my agency.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Why don't you hold off? Senator Robley?
Could I just ask
Mr. Allen?
Allen. Does this make it clear that there are times when it is more appropriate to have short-term contracts? I want to make sure that we're not having a problem with that, so that we have to bring people back on staff because there's some on the waiting list, rather than letting them have some contracts for a short period of time.
Mr. Chair, Senator Roebling, actually one of the reasons that we felt comfortable putting in the zero-cost fiscal note is that the language as amended says that the agency that's laid off employees will consider bringing them back, and consider struck us as providing enough flexibility to make a judgment based on the best interests of the state. So in some cases, they might conclude that they would not bring them back because of the fact that it might be more cost-effective to outsource on a short-term basis.
Any other questions? Senator Rust?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate File 471 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the full Committee on Finance.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say no.
No.
Motion prevails. Okay, we are done with today's agenda. Wednesday, we are going to be spending most of the time looking at the Secretary of State's budget proposals, which will then be forwarded to the Finance Committee and rolled into the omnibus bill. We do have a small bill from Senator Rest on what's the name of it? New Americans Commission. So, and that's the only item.
Judy Cook.
Oh, yes. So we're going to have a presentation from Deloitte and Touche on the Drive to Excellence. So they'll talk about the Deloitte and Touche's view on any savings and so forth in there, but they'll give us a presentation on that. So anyway, thank you for being here, and the meeting's adjourned. Thank you.